Lisa, you are up first with grants and marketing.
Yes, let's start with the Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program grant.
Sure, so three grants that we're looking at discussing with the board tonight. Of the three that are on the list, this is one that we're not recommend applying for, but we wanted to put it on the list to keep it in front of the board, let you know that we're evaluating these and looking at them. $125 million available through a combination of federal and state funds. Really, the purpose of this is for shovel-ready new development projects that are really designed for biking, walking paths across various modes of transportation. So we've tried hard to try to squirrel in some of the looped walking paths like we've done at Isles and Gurman and Geedle and JC, trying to get some grant funds out of that, but those absolutely do not qualify under this grant program. We also tried hard to get some maintenance funds. There's a lot of maintenance that we need to do on our trails. We're actually doing a lot as we speak. So we tried to put some maintenance funds in there, but those also don't qualify. They are shovel-ready new trail development. So we don't have anything that meets that list right now. We've talked to the county about what they may be.
I was
going to
say, is the county going to apply for, I know that they've been working on the third phase of the Sangamon Valley Trail.
Yeah, they've gone through preliminary engineering to go south on the trail. I think they're going to take a pass on this round of grants because I don't know that they're shovel-ready. I don't know if they've gone through everything just yet. They're working with Morgan County to support an application that they're putting in. So I don't think so, but we're encouraging them to do that as well. But I think from our perspective in terms of new trail development, we just don't have anything that we're looking at.
So short of maybe officially making some of the walking trails that we created in Lincoln, Washington, and maybe actually tapping them out and putting in steps where some of the things are a little steep that would be an option of something that would probably qualify with what you're describing. But I don't know that that's something we should be looking at right now.
Yeah, I think there's the matching is all over the board because there's a combination of federal and state funds for those as well. And again, they are specifically for trails that are just inside one park are automatic disqualifiers. They have to be broader than the park itself, much like our trail system. That's what it's written for.
We've discussed at several of these meetings where we have a number of things where we're biting into the cookie already. We're doing this over here. We're doing this over here. And now we've got the matching funds here. We don't want to stretch ourselves too thin because we know there's a couple of big problems. Nelson Center over our head, the issue of Veterans Pool over our head. We got some things coming that we're not sure when that hammer's going to fall.
Right. Yep.
I think it wouldn't surprise me that the state, speaking of Nelson Center, that at some point, because we're not the only ice rink in the state that's going to have this issue. My thought is at some point, and obviously we should still squirrel away for it, and plan for it, but I would be really surprised if there wasn't, when that day comes, if there isn't some kind of funding source to assist with that.
I see the light on the horizon that there's going to be some expansion of grants.
I see. Oh, that's interesting. OSLAD or others?
Definitely OSLAD, which we'll talk about in a second, but just expanding the monetary amounts. Derek and I talked about it, the requirements, matchable funds, and with, we all know water facilities are so expensive. Mm-hmm. Everything's expensive right now. I see some other things coming our way.
Good.
That'd be great.
These are encouraging conversations. So the other grant, state grant that we follow real closely is the park grant, PARC. It's Park and Recreation Construction. That's a bread and butter grant that is specifically for indoor facilities, unlike OSLAD, which is specifically not for indoor. It's open space. It's outdoor.
They haven't done it in a while, right?
We've continued to
ask several years.
I can't can't remember the last park grant, may have been the Botanical Garden. But we follow it really closely.
Is that 100%?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's no local match on that one, too. So that'd be, the Nelson Center would be a great candidate for a park grant, but we haven't seen any discussion on that recently. Doesn't mean they can't, won't rule it out, but we just haven't heard any chatter on it. So we'll keep our...
Can you bring it up to, like, Peter Murphy?
I have on many, many occasions.
Okay, I should have known that.
I've spoken to him in the last 2 weeks about it, yeah, and Jason Nance.
And he said he's not hearing anything.
They haven't heard anything.
Are they pushing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no action will need to be taken on this first
correct.
One?
Correct. It's an informational item, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next one, Tourism Attraction Grant.
Yep, so this is an exciting grant. This is the second year of funding for this program, so it was new last year. It started in COVID. There's $15 million available through this round, which this is statewide, so it's not a lot of money, on a relatively speaking. There are federal pass-through funds must be in compliance with the American Rescue Plan. The individual grant amounts can be up to $500,000. And they're specifically designed to enhance tourism attractions or festivals. So much like Oswald, there's a really quick turnaround on this one. They just announced it, I think, last week, and grants are due September 30th. So it's so quick. The matching funds is our matching funds with this one. So the grant awards may exceed 50% of the total project expenditures. However, they give strong preference to projects and applicants that seek less than 50% of the overall project costs. So we have a decision to make here, and I'll come back to that in a minute. So our proposal, staff would recommend that we apply for a grant to renovate the conservatory dome at the Washington Park Botanical Garden. It's a $750,000 project. We applied for this for a museum grant in the last cycle, so we've got a lot of the paperwork ready. Amanda's geared up and ready to go as soon as she gets the green light to write this one. The overall project will include really three kind of main components. One would be demolition of the existing acrylic conservatory dome and constructing a new dome of a similar shape and a similar size in that same location. We've already done some public input meetings on this, so we've got a lot of the work done already. The second part of the project would be replacing the leaky windows that enter it. There's three kind of hallways. Two come from the lobby and one goes out to the exhibit hall, so those would need to be reworked and replaced as well. And then the HVAC system also, for a total of $750,000. So let's talk a little bit about the grant amount. Given the small amount of grant funds available here, $15 million, staff's recommending that we limit our ask, our grant amount, which could go up to $500,000, but we recommend limiting it to 50% of the overall project cost. So in other words, we would apply for a grant for $375,000, which would mean we'd have to match $375,000, which we need to talk about also. But if we go for the full $500,000, I'm just very fearful we'll lose all of it, right? So I think it's better, given the small amount
get
of money.
Get something.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, make it a competitive application.
I understand that.
50%. So that's our recommendation. Now let's talk about...
How do you think it'll score?
Oh, I think it will be good. We don't have as much experience. This is the first time that we will apply for this grant, because this is a new grant. So their criteria, we'll have to do some legwork. They give preference to communities that have a loss in hotel and motel tax for the year 2019 to 2021.
Oh, that would be
awesome.
Yeah.
I spoke with Amy Beadle at the visitors intervention.
Yeah.
We're down 6%. Now, we are looking to have a good year this year, but in that time frame, it's a 6% loss.
Yeah. So that's going in our favor.
Yeah.
Legislatively, they're required to give no less than 30% of available funds to counties outside, like Cook and McCollum counties. So they're trying to push money downstate. So I think we have a lot of things going for us. this is right in line with tourism attraction. So
it's not a heavily, I mean, it, Washington Park is incredibly heavily trafficked, but I don't know what is our, I don't mean to get too much in the weeds. I'm just curious from a tourism perspective, you know, can we make the case that we draw people for that facility?
It's listed in the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and I'm sure that they would probably help us. And can we tie it into the Carillon Festival at a DA?
That's a great idea.
When we're ready, we're going to be draw that part into it because it does bring it out to people internationally. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's the new town square and transportation center coming. Our tourists are likely going to increase this
year. Right.
Mm-hmm. With the scenes of the Botanical Garden Conservatory, we've also got the Lily Show, which brings people in from all over. We have a couple other shows.
Right, the Orchid Show, yeah.
Yeah.
It's technically a host.
That's true.
Lots of festivals. Carillon.
Pumpkins.
The Art Spectacular.
Yeah, and it's all, as long as we can incorporate more than just the that facility, right? If you can pull in stuff going on around, I think we're in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, my concern is just, you know, I go on a reasonably regular basis, and, you know, it's not, there isn't a lot of foot traffic inside. But all around, there's tons. So I'm great with the plan. I just want to make sure that we can put a, together a pretty strong case.
We will make our best case, I assure you. I think it's a creative way that would also help us address, you know, a pending issue that needs to be addressed as well. We didn't get it through the museum grant, but I'm hopeful we have a strong shot here.
Now let me ask another question, and this is totally splitting hairs, but the way that it's written out, would it be beneficial to ask for like 48 or 49% instead of 50%?
Sure, we can do that. We can do that.
Why not?
370 instead of 375.
Yeah,
right. That's
so then we're under the 50% of the project.
And less than.
Right.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because other people are going to ask for the 50.
You guys are sneaky.
Hey, if $5,000 gets us 370, it's worth it's worth the try.
Okay, so we don't necessarily need a formal vote on this. In fact, given the timing of it, we prefer not to wait till next week, unless we hear any opposition tonight. Otherwise. Oh, yeah. The match.
I was going to ask that. Yeah.
So the match, you know, that's the other 800-pound gorilla, right? So we would propose that we take it from the $452,000 bequeath that William Corey left to us.
That's a great idea.
He was an avid supporter of Washington Park. I know some of our trustees knew him. Alexa also knew him very well. And she believes that this replacement project would absolutely fit within his wishes, and he'd be very honored.
Could we maybe? I was thinking maybe we could name the dome, after him.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, he was so generous.
All around a good plan.
Yeah. And then we can do a naming and a ribbon cutting and in his honor. Maybe have a plaque right by the dome. I love that idea.
Yep.
Love that idea.
Everybody, right, exactly, yeah. Everybody supports that direction?
Yeah.
Has CJ Bowles gone ahead?
We don't need to know about that.
Okay.
And lastly, the Oswald grant update.
So this one's a little more complex. This grant is funded from the real estate transfer tax. Last year, as we all know, real estate was through the roof, so they have a bumper year of awards that they're looking at. This grant requires a 50% local match, and any local match would have to come from the Park District and have to come from our 2024 bonds, which we issue every 2 years. Now, just a reminder, I've kind of pumped the brakes on that bond issue in the past. We have several demands for that bond. We know that we were awarded the Kiwanis grant. We couldn't fund the full thing in the 2022 bond, so we have to appropriate an additional $150,000 from the 2024 bond to cover the Kiwanis grant. So there's obligations already. Plus, as Trustee Tylan mentioned earlier, we know there's upcoming demands for the refrigerant plant at the Nelson Center, the roof at the Nelson Center, and we've got a lot of other aging facilities as well. So I'm a little cautious about committing those funds before we've even really got into that process. That said, I think there's an opportunity here. So the off-lot program, we know this program very well. This program has been in place for a long, long time. We know how to write the grants. We know what they're looking for. We have a very good track record, Isles Park, Kiwanis Park, and many, many others in the recent history. There have been several changes to the off-lot program this year that could have a serious impact on our application that I wanted to kind of talk through with the board. First, as we talked, there's a lot more funding available. They're increasing the available funds from what's usually around 25 to 30 million. They're going to issue $56 million worth of awards this year, which is huge, which means it won't be as competitive because this is usually a pretty competitive application process. They have also changed the maximum grant that you can apply for. It's always been $400,000 for development projects, and we're only talking about development projects, not acquisition. So it's always been $400,000. They're changing that to $600,000.
So inflation.
And it's the larger pool of money
right.
out the door, too. So, because I think it will go back to $400,000 after this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we could apply for a $600,000 grant, but remember, if there's a local match, that would require us to match $600,000 as well. So perhaps the biggest change that's going to impact us is this issue of a distressed community. So they provide greater assistance to distressed communities. In the past, they've required a 10% local match if your community is designated as a distressed community. So Oswald would fund 90%, the local match would be 10%. This year, they have increased their contribution to 100%. So if you're classified as a distressed community, you have no local match whatsoever. So I've been here for 15 years in Springfield Park District. We have never been considered a distressed community. And we have actually talked to our legislators about it. We've talked to IDNR about it because we've made the argument that although Springfield proper may not be meet the qualifications of distress, there are certainly neighborhoods within our community that absolutely are distressed. Until this year, we didn't know if they were really hearing us with some of that stuff. So just last week, IDNR published their updated list of distressed communities, and Springfield is on the list. So what that means is that we could receive
100%.
Up to a $600,000 grant at 100% funding, no local match. So this is really exciting news for us. There's also some back-end implications, too. I've got a call into IDNR for some clarification on this, such as if we apply for a $600,000 grant and we're awarded it, but there isn't enough available funds for distressed, are we now on the hook for a $600,000 match, right? So we need to get an understanding of that, moving forward. I don't think that's the case, but I just want to have that discussion with them. So there's some really exciting opportunities for us here.
I can think of two things off the top of my head that we've already been looking at. This would be a perfect opportunity to fund them. We can look at Rotary, where we fix the tennis court, whether we turn it back into tennis or we turn it into pickleball. We can update the playground over there because it hasn't been touched in years, and a lot of the kids have outgrown some of the stuff that's over there, and it's outdated. Not to mention the parking lot and the diamonds in that. Most of the diamonds in that area are fine.
Yeah, they
but
are.
The parking lots could be updated to help cover some of the traffic that's being brought in for the sports terminal. But I think specifically that tennis court could be the centerpiece of something like this because we already know we have to tackle that.
But they're not going to give us, money for in a distressed community parameter, like 100%,
and go
to Rotary,
yeah.
Right? So Rotary does not qualify in our community as...
What about any here in
the end. Well, Indian Hills, or the other one is JC I mean, there are some places that definitely could fall into, absolutely. And then we could get 100%.
Know these projects are on our radar.
Right.
So rather than making a new project for the Oblog, I'm just saying we take some of the ones that we already know we're looking at and see which ones fit.
I think so.
So staff's been doing the same thing that you guys are doing as well. We've been evaluating our existing assets, what needs to be done, what projects have we contemplated, what did we talk about in the master plan, because all these things get points. And which projects we may want to consider. So we have four projects that we'd like to present to the board. Ultimately, the board will make a decision on which one, if any, we would like to go with. So let's talk about those. So in the board packet, there were four options that were included, and I want to walk through these. But I will tell you that although there's four projects, staff is strongly recommending option number one, which is to convert Vet's Pool to a splash pad. And I think this is important for several reasons. So let's talk a little bit about the existing conditions at Vets. Vets was constructed in the 60s. The partnership purchased it in the late 90s. We did a major renovation in the year 2000. That was 22 years ago, almost 23 years ago. And the pool right now is far past its useful life. The pool shell is crumbling. We have, no exaggeration, football-sized pieces of concrete that are breaking loose and coming up from the pool shell on the surface of the pool floor. This year, we actually bought some rubber mats and screwed them down on top of this concrete to try to keep it from coming up and keeping kids from getting cuts, which, you know, we have kids four or five times a week get their feet cut up because of the jagged edges on the bottom of the pool. New in the last two or three years, the walls are now starting to crack and they're starting to shift as well. As a reminder, we completed a professional pool audit in 2020. That was 2 years ago. The professional pool company evaluated all of our pools, including Vet's Pool, and they had a repair cost of over $500,000 for Vet's Pool. And most of the items in the $500,000 were classified as immediate needs. So, you know, we believe that Vet's Pool desperately needs some attention. From an operational standpoint, we manage three pools, Veterans, Nelson, which are both outdoor pools, and also we have Eisenhower, which is our indoor pool. We have always struggled to find lifeguards, most recently during COVID. And the upper pressure on minimum wage has just made it unmanageable. And as you all remember, we actually had to close some of our facilities down because we didn't have lifeguards. We had to limit hours at all of our pools just because we didn't have enough staff to kind of spread around. The annual subsidy for Veterans Memorial Pool is about $50,000 per year. It operates at a loss, so we take general funds to support our recreation.
We do that.
We do that
for pretty much
anything.
Yep. I appreciate the point, but
yeah,
that's not the strongest argument.
No, it's not. But as our expenses continue to increase and our revenues are pretty stable, you know, we've got these two lines that are getting intersected. You know,
I get it
about those things. So when we can make decisions to lower our subsidies, staff thinks we're just going to push hard on those things and think that that's something that the board should strongly consider.
If the splash pad technology has improved, because I know that there's been issues in the past with some of the other ones that have gone in, but if we're talking about something where the technology is better, we're not so worried about the water quality, this could easily be a very good destination park.
I agree. Look, I'm not against this idea. I mean, I think there's merit to it, you know, and Derek and I discussed it a little bit. Taking away Veterans Pool is a big thing to take away from that community, that part of our community. It's busy. So, unless we're shut down. But to me, if we're going to contemplate this, I mean, there's some compelling other parks on here too, but if we're going to contemplate this, and I get the recommendation from staff, to me there needs to be something truly special, first of all. I mean, it can't be a splash pad. It's got to be, you know, a complex of water, you know, level, but water activities.
You mean like one of those playset type things?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be like, well, not just that, but there's got to be multiples of those, so it becomes a destination. And in my opinion, there also needs to be an adult component, because you're taking away a pool that a lot of adults use. And so if you're going to do that, then there has to be some feature to this that, you know, like we're talking about, you know, a shallow, you know, 3 or 4 inch thing. You see them sometimes, it's, you know, where you can put a chair in it, right? Like that, and we provide the inexpensive lounge chairs, you know, in it, and it's a surface area of a reasonable size. Something where I don't really, and there were probably other good ideas out there, but something where adults have a component where they can go and enjoy being there as well. It can't just become a kid feature that is narrowly focused, in my opinion.
Yeah, we think this one makes a lot of sense for a wide range of reasons. I hear what you're saying, and we can certainly look at those design aspects of it. We also talked about, you know, right now, you know, we charge admission. We staff that, so we charge admission for it. And would we do that in this scenario? OSLA has real strict requirements on mm-hmm. admission fees. If you can charge them, if so, they control how much you charge them.
So you don't charge, but, you know, somebody comes at the end of the day and picks up the chairs and puts them in a shed. I mean, I'm always happy when we don't charge admission to something. So I don't have any problem with that. But, you know, I just really feel strongly that if we're going down this road, it can't be limited to kitty things. I mean, it's great. Some kitty things are great. I'm all about it. But there has to be some element for adults that they can go and enjoy this. And otherwise, I mean, there are a lot of other really good projects on there. We don't have to do this. I mean, we can pick one of the other parts we've been discussing.
Yep. So we have, I think, 4 strong proposals. So let's talk a little bit about what that may look like. Several components to that pool demo. We have an initial budget of $300,000. We were really struggling to understand how much it would cost to demo the existing site. So we initially put $300,000, but we got some good news this week that we may be able to get that done for $200,000. We got a quote. And so
just a demo.
It's a large site. So what that means in terms of our budget is we had initially thought $300,000 to be conservative, so we can take that extra $100,000 and put that towards splash pad development and build something larger. If the board is in agreement with this, we would, of course, get some designs. The board would approve all the designs and what that would look like in the field and, you know, how all those components would work. We would also recommend constructing a shelter, because I, too, think it will be a destination area. We already have school buses coming to Southwind for that little bitty splash pad. And Southwind, as an example, I think it was around $60,000 to construct. And if we get this grant, we're going to construct a $400,000 splash pad.
Yeah, of course, that was 10 years ago or 11 years ago.
If not more, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, inflation has gone up, absolutely. But it still gives you a feel. We're building a much larger than just a splash pad. So we would want a shelter there for picnics and family gatherings and maybe camps and so on and so forth. And we've got some money for engineering and some site amenities as well. All in, we're looking at an $800,000 grant. And again, if we could go $600,000 with no match, even though we would be matching $200,000 as well, we could get that $800,000 project and we'd only have to put in $200,000.
Well, I like the location of it. I mean, I like that we're, you know, headed to the north end to do some good in areas that could really use, also use a shot in the arm. I think there's, to me, I mean, I'm fine with this. I mean, I'd love the other. Do you think there will be money in future OSLAD? I know it probably won't be as much, but in future OSLAD years for 100% funding as well? Will we continue to be a distressed community so we can come back next year and do JC? Or come back next year and do Indian Hills? Because those are, or frankly, Fairview.
So there will be money in OSLAD because it's an earmark from the real estate transfer tax. So that's a given, right? And it's not like
the question I had is, is there going to be money for are we just going to be distressed, and will the program be similar in your field?
I don't have a feeling for that. I'd hate to, I don't know the answer.
Okay.
To that.
All right.
Because here's why. We don't know why they put us as distressed now. That was actually a surprise to us.
Not likely to move out.
Well, it's
based on the unemployment percentage for the last couple of years.
It
won't stay the same.
It's unemployment. It's the percentage of your population under the National Poverty Guideline. There's a whole bunch of litmus tests there, and the federal and state guidelines working together. But I will also tell you that Springfield is not the only community that is newly considered as distressed. The list went from like 2 pages to like 10 pages, right? So there's a lot of them out there. So
the definition changed or just the general economic thing.
So,
right.
I have a question. If I guess we'll just try it, right? And I was thinking about the fact that are we how risky is this, given if we matched it, would we be more likely to get it, or if we go as a distressed community, what are our odds?
Yeah, so you don't, we don't apply in one category or the other. We just apply for an OSLAD and they determine where we're at. There is no priority given, unlike the tourism grant that we talked about, where they are specifically given priority to projects where there's a greater match from the local level. OSLAD doesn't work that way. OSLAD gives preference to distressed communities. And in fact, they're obligated to push, I don't know, I want to say 20% of the total awards to distressed communities. It may not be 20, but it's around there somewhere. The point is that they're trying to push to distressed as opposed to match.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So in the future, I don't know. The OSLAD is strong. We know that. You know, whether we'll have to match or not in the future, I don't know whether we're going to get distressed community no match this year. Again, those are good questions. I do want to talk to our grant administrator so we'll have an understanding of, you know, whichever one of these projects the board picks, because I assume we'll pick one of them, and they're all $800,000. The question is, do we apply for a $600,000 grant or do we apply for a $400,000 grant, still keeping the total project cost at $800,000? And again, there's risk both ways. If we apply for $400,000, the risk is that it's no local match, and boy, we'll have $200,000 on the table because...
Yeah, I think go big or go home.
So the risk that way, is that they award the grant to us, but they don't have funding available for distressed communities, so now we have to do a $1.2 million project, and our local match has gone from $200,000 to
$600,000. Well, then we just don't take... I mean, you know, it's...
Can we accept that?
All great questions. We've been down the path with OSLAD where we applied for a grant, and the board has to take action and sign affidavit, but you have to take action that says we have the money, you know, we have our local match, we're good to go. If you award us this grant, we're obligated to do it. We went down the path where we had to withdraw from a grant 1 year because of some funding issues. I do not recommend that.
No, we can't.
I think for some period of time, there's going to be available grants coming through, and I don't want to get into a situation where we're disqualified.
Talk to the grant administrator and see what our best option is.
Okay, so let's keep talking about projects. So that's the vet school project, right? Any questions on what that would look like or feel?
So it's been closed for a month.
already the pool?
At least a month, maybe 2 months. So
has there been community pushback?
We have not received a single phone call.
Weren't we closed last year for some a
little bit, yeah.
And the year before we had some kind of issue, and that's not even going into the family. That's just the pool functioning.
Right.
I mean, we've had...
Yeah, it's an old facility.
Yeah. We've not received a single phone call from anybody upset or questioning, hey, when's it going to open? Nothing. And again, further illustrating the need to replace sets is that the breakdown, it was a relatively minor breakdown. It was a filter control unit. Usually you go and pull one off the shelf and you put it on. It's so old that they don't make them anymore. So we actually had to have an engineer design and fabricate a new one with us, which requires IDPH permitting process. It was just, it's because it's so old, mm-hmm. right? But again, to your point, I do think there's an opportunity here to get rid of an aging facility that is used. It is used. There was 1,000 passes sold in 2019 and about 4,000 daily admissions. I'm sorry, 100 passes and about 4,000 daily admissions. Sorry. I saw the no shaking, so I appreciate that. 100 passes and 4,000 daily admissions. So it does get activity, but I think the splash pad, I think, like Chris said, I think it could be a regional draw that community could be really excited about. Okay, any other questions about that?
About the Leslie's point, it needs to be, and I think you and I may have discussed this a little bit, I think it needs to be something that's not focused. There needs to be a... This age area, we need, it can't be focused on one age group. In order for it to actually be a destination, it needs to be something where mom shows up with a toddler, a six-year-old, and a 12-year-old, and by the end of the day, all three of them had a good time.
Yeah, including the mom. We get that at our splash pads now. And all our splash pads are now in a 20-foot circle with some jets that just pop up water.
Yeah.
It's great. It's people love it. Like I said, people travel from all over, and that is really basic. We're doing something much bigger than that. It would be staff's recommendation that we design a splash pad that does not have to require lifeguards by the bathing and beach code, right? If we have to lifeguard it, we're back in the same situation where we have
really hard to close that down and monitor it. You don't have the license.
But other agencies, organizations have gone down this path, and we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just need to find a good wheel that we can copy.
Yeah.
I've just pondered over this for a week now, and the pros and cons of each project, because each project is working. Nothing wrong. But I think we know that the end is near for Frederick.
Yeah.
And this is the opportunity, because we will get a little bit of backlash of closing it, mm-hmm. that we have the opportunity to replace it and replace it with something really cool. I know my friends in Burton, their children's preschool takes the bus over to the Southwind to go to the splash pad.
Right.
So I think that there's definitely, and just the technology, even though Southwind and Cobra Cox's splash pad are that old, the technology and having a larger map, I'm sure you can come up with something cool that will, satisfy everyone. I just think this is a good opportunity to, veterans is inevitably going to go away. The opportunity to replace it with something
that's
low.
And it's
free.
Yeah. The other thing is
it's a perfect price tag.
It's just a matter of time before somebody gets really hurt.
Yeah, we can't have people cutting up their feet. I mean, that's not okay.
Yeah, it's really difficult decision, particularly for publicly elected boards, to close a facility. It's never popular. It's always difficult. Even closing some smaller things have been very challenging for a wide range of reasons. So at least this isn't just taking something away from the community. It's getting something back.
Right. Something brighter and shinier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's enough school facilities.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. We're not doing away with the only outdoor facility.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because Eisenhower during the summer, you think?
Well, and another thing we could do, we could turn down an offer.
We have swim teams there.
Two or three-year discount to anyone who used to be a member of veterans to move their membership to Nelson.
We sell hopper passes now, so they're good at both pools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a good point of clarification. That 100 passes that we sold weren't just vets passes. Those were vets / Nelson passes. Is that right, Amanda? Yeah.
Okay,
so moving on. The three other projects, they're all park redevelopment projects. One would be Lindbergh Park. So this project would include a new playground for $230,000, a plaza, which would be kind of like what we did at Isles Park, a seating area and stuff around it, looped walking paths throughout the entire park, which has become very popular. We also took the opportunity, if we're going to redevelop Lindbergh, to make a pickleball complex, right? We know that there's been a lot of talk about pickleball. We know that the pickleball club wants to push out west. We know a lot of their members are driving to Isles and driving to Duncan, and they've asked us, hey, we need to do something out west. They've talked about Rotary. They've talked about Centennial. We've talked to them about Lindbergh already, not recently as part of this grant application. We want to get to the board first. We don't want to get ahead of the board on something like this. But that would certainly meet, you know, the criteria for a west side park in terms of location. And there's one existing tennis court out there now. It's in okay shape. As a standalone, wouldn't be large enough to do a pickleball complex, so we would recommend resurfacing that and actually adding on to it so we could do 8 or so pickleball courts out there to meet that need. Other components would include a shelter and then some engineering and some site amenity costs as well. So we think that's a would rank high in Oslod. We think it's a needed project. We think it addresses some already issues that we know that we're dealing with now.
You know, I have to tell you though, for me, and you know, I go to Lindbergh Park on a regular basis, but I've got to tell you that in ranking, I mean, I'm going to look at Indian Hills or JC or Fairview before I look at Lindbergh. I mean, with no disrespect to Lindbergh, it's in reasonably good shape, and the equipment, while it's not brand new, is not overly outdated, and I mean, it could use a facelift. There's no question, and I love the project, but it isn't. There are some other parks out there that need it more.
I think that's one where some of the things that we're talking about doing for Lindbergh, to me, it doesn't ring that distress bell. And I think that it's got value. There's value here, but I think that the need is greater elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that if we could work on, we could find a way to fund it sometime in the next 5-year cycle, whereas something like the Veterans Pool or JC, Indian Hills, Jefferson.
Yeah, Jefferson's another one.
You know, these are things where we talked about needing to show some love to some of these parks that haven't been touched. But I think I think Lindbergh has value. I just don't think that it's going to hit that distress button.
Agreed.
Well, if the board's in agreement that Betts is number one, we can stop talking right now.
For public purposes, let's go ahead and talk about the other two.
So the other two, which are needed projects, they wouldn't be on the list if we didn't think they were needed projects. We think they'd be competitive with Oslod as well, and that includes a redevelopment at Indian Hills, new playground, a really nice plaza with a shade structure, loop walking paths and site amenities, and then JC Park redevelopment, a similar redevelopment project at JC with a new playground and plaza and walking paths as well. So two parks, I agree with what both of you just said, that I think check some boxes for us. I think they're in a part of the community that could need some help, need some assistance. And the playgrounds and the parks, you know, could use some help. We have invested in JP recently. We did the loop walking path around, which was a great addition.
And it's used.
And it's used, yeah. So these are the four. We didn't really prioritize the other three because, you know, vets make so much sense to us. We knew that was kind of our leading number one. We can do this a couple ways. If we will need to pass a resolution, again, committing the funds. Of course, can't do that tonight because this is just a committee meeting. So we could do that as early as next week if the board's prepared, or we can do it next month. This grant is due on September 30th, so we have a tremendous amount of work to do in a very short amount of time.
Well, is there consensus from the board on this? Can we, everybody okay?
That's where I'm at. I mean, when I first heard of this, the two that first popped my head were Indian Hills and JC.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of moving out north towards Indian Hills. It needs some TLC. Veterans accomplished that, moving out north.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes care of something that we know has to be done.
Absolutely. And it's a different project. JC and Indian Hills were in a lot of ways replicating what we've been doing with Oddlot grants, which I think makes it a little bit more attractive for the application.
That's a good point.
That we're putting in water features, you know, in different amenities than just walking. Playgrounds, which are great, and we love them. So that's where I'm at with it. I mean, I think the veterans' pool is my vote.
And to your point about the ankle deep,
mm-hmm.
I think that when we do something like that, we could do it in a way that it does a dual purpose. If we did it in such a way that when the winter months come, that if it's only this deep or whatever, there's a skating rink.
What about a water fountain? What are the rules, and how much are those?
What do you mean? Like a drink,
yeah.
Or what do you mean?
No, like a fountain. Have you ever gotten in a water fountain?
So there's mushrooms that spread water out.
That's what I mean. Like there's different.
I'm
just saying, if you're reading the cool idea, if we're only going so deep, that's not, you know, that's something where instead of having to worry about someone falling through at Lincoln or wherever when we're trying to get those frozen over enough to skate, if we're only talking about 2-3 inches of water,
the whole structure, yeah. I would think would have to be engineered differently.
Well, that's why that we have the winter.
I might not work on this idea, but it's something to think about later because when we're talking about trying to differentiate these projects,
yeah.
You know, the idea of another sledding hill somewhere or a skating rink somewhere, these are things that we don't have. When we talked about the skate park, that's unique, something very different to that park. So maybe going forward, the idea of this veterans becoming the splash park, which makes it unique, maybe we start thinking about some of these other ideas that would make things unique in different areas of town that don't have it.
I think what I'd like to do is wait for the resolution until September, only because I'd like to come back to committee in September with sort of the concept drawings and have that conversation, and that will be 3 weeks before so we can maybe tweak some things and then vote in September.
Okay, so to be very clear, if we want to apply for a grant by September 30th, we need to start right now.
Yeah.
And so if we're in agreement that that's the project,
yeah.
Right, then we can get everything moving. As far as the design, you know, I think what we'll probably do for sake of timing, we'll work with Water Odyssey, we'll get a couple designs. It wouldn't require formal board approval, and we would not get ahead of the board, but we just need to show IDNR something of
that
would look like. Right,
right? We'll vote in September.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the designs will come.
Yeah, I would envision, it would be my thought, that the design is going to take quite a bit of massaging with the board and with whatever company we go with, there's probably going to be a couple revisions and rounds. I would think that'd be a process.
Okay. After the grant.
If the board happens to accept the very first design that we put ahead of you,
they give us and how much matching we want.
That's true. Okay. Well, if the board's okay with putting it on the agenda then for August, I'm fine. All right, let's keep going.
I don't think we want a hole in the ground where turtles can grow and kids can drown and a pool that's not functioning anymore. I think that needs to be solved.
Yes.
More than anything. And
agreed.
Okay, well, let's keep moving then.
I think
go ahead.
That is my number one choice. But right. Indian Hills, was there any discussion on doing something with the tennis courts and...
We were, so the tennis courts right now get no tennis use out there. Yeah, we've talked about a couple options. We've talked about one, converting them to a futsal, which is it's like hockey on the tennis. We'd have to do some netting and stuff around it. We still have to resurface it. I don't know how popular that would be. I'd be concerned, you know, like foot golf. We tried foot golf at Bergen Golf Course, and it just really didn't take off. You know what I mean?
Pickleball.
Well, we've got Duncan. That's on the north end, right? We could consider that. The other thing that we talked about is converting it to make, so we also think that there's a demand there for a large shelter. We have a small shelter there for a large shelter. Mm-hmm. So we talked about maybe using that pad for the shelter, right, and building a really nice shelter on that tennis court area. So we haven't, no definitive plans there, and it looks like we're probably not going in that direction anyway.
Yeah, I'm just curious if you have an idea like Lindbergh.
Yeah,
I think, look, we've got a lot of work to do. We know that. I think we move forward with this, but we keep Indian Hills and JC, Fairview, Jefferson, you know, Lindbergh, and even Westchester on our radar as parks that we need to be improving.
Well, we know. If we were to be given an unlimited budget, we could easily blow so much money because each one of these parks has a valid thing that we can do it.
Yeah.
So we just need to maximize what we have with the greatest need.
Yeah, I think, you know, my perception of it is we are a creature of our own making, right? And what I mean is that in the last, say, 5 to 6 years, we have very aggressively developed parks. Look at what we've done at Isles. Look at the conversion we made at Duncan. Look what we're getting ready to do at Kiwanis Park. And what we're starting to hear now from the community is that we have this new level of expectation that's up here. I see what you did at Isles. I see what you're doing at Kiwanis. What about my park? When's my park due, right? And it's great to be able to provide that service and to make those.
We have a lot of parks.
The level of expectation is.
That is the good news and the challenge simultaneously.
And, you know, with Venus and German coming too, the remodels over there, people are just going to be.
I know, but.
Yeah.
You
have to keep it real.
Roll right in.
So, speaking of which, Enos.
So that's the recreation committee.
Yep.
That's Mallory. I think actually I'm pointing at Amanda, sorry. I think Jason's gonna take that one for us. Unless you wanna take that one, Amanda.
I'm looking at
class. You have some good news for us.
Yeah, since pictures in the gold tag book design we've been working on for a while, basically since about January. If you remember the footprint of Isles, we have walkways that are already around the playground. We don't really want to tear all that up. We want to focus on taking the playground up instead of out. That gives us that opportunity. It goes up. Also, we got word yesterday that we got a $70,000 grant to help with this price. So we were awarded that through some grant writing that I did with our rep here. So this playground all in, installed, ADA accessible surfacing, the swing bays, the playground, everything is at $194. We budgeted $220. Being conservative as we are, we like to keep it at $194 in case something pops up, and we have an additional whatever for something that comes up, the Unis Grimmin Tip project, something else pops up, you got a little bit of cushion there to do something. So, but cool, playground goes up, swings there. Didn't want to do a zip line this time since we've done two of those in the past. So kind of focus on the play structure this time and then make something a little bit different. So yeah, really cool playground. Prices have changed since January to now. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah.
And great work on the grant.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thank you.
Wow, I mean, think about that, that we probably wouldn't have been able to afford such a cool system if you hadn't done that.
We had an option to me and Eric to talk about this. We could have applied for Kiwanis, or we could have applied for this. But the order has to be placed by November. So, Ian's is rock and rolling. We're right here with you.
Can we work out so that we can apply for Kiwanis for next year? When we're developing that park and...
I don't think so with this way this grant worked out.
Okay. All right.
So we took advantage of it and jumped on it for Enid.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
And yeah, it's approved by this, August 18th, whatever the following day is, we could get that ordered. Who knows? I have to make a call to the installer and see if they're available. I would highly doubt this will get installed this year.
But we can hope.
So we do need approval next week from the board on this playground design to green light staff to go ahead and order it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just ask, Carpenter Park, do we continue to work on it? I haven't been out there in several months, but do we continue to work on the trails and the pathways on that?
They're steep.
Yes, I worry about that.
They're steep. We've replaced the bridges a couple times and done some stuff like that. We sent guys down to turn it all back, but there's some steep areas there with some wooden bridges. They're rough. I'm not going to lie.
I just wondered about that before.
Yeah.
Okay, let us know if we need to.
Sure.
It needs to be higher up on our radar. Okay, Stephen?
I just wanted to comment on a couple of things. Obviously, all the reports are in their packet, but I wanted to discuss the audit, which was completed. And
wow.
The information from our auditors was very, very upbeat. Initial feedback is that there's no issues. In fact, they finished it a day early. And then, so we'll be organizing the audit committee meeting beginning of October with the idea of bringing the audit to the board, the actual cycle. Report, our AFR is due to the comptroller's office October 29th. So obviously we have to bang. Get it right in. We will have the same two findings, unfortunately. However, on that, I have actually executed a contract for the one, so I have a vendor, independent contractor, basically, who is an inventory expert, who's actually already started. He came in last week, met with them. We have it all. He's working on it right now to inventory our assets.
Good.
And then I have a contract out in my inbox right now for the risk assessment.
Okay.
And so essentially,
we'll get rid of them next year. Yeah.
We'll get them both done this fiscal year. And so then they'll be gone. And the FY23 audit, they would be gone.
Good.
And I don't expect to have any new findings. And so it's something to look forward to.
It's aspirational.
When I retire, you'll have a clean slate here.
don't even go there.
So, and then I also wanted to say that I think during our meetings, I was proponents for showing the North End some love with that pool. I will say the facility is a big drain.
And
I think a new feature would make a big splash in the area.
You know, Stephen, I think we...
I
think we should just pool our jokes together.
Yeah, we definitely have a way to springboard.
Yes, but let's not go to the deep end, okay? All right.
Somebody needs a wipe or
No, he's very guarded. All right. Thank you, Stephen.
Uncle.
Yeah. Amanda?
sorry. I just wanted to bring to your attention. So we are ending the Cobra Cox Teen Empowerment Zone on next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, I would recommend some of you, or expect some of you different times, that's fine, to come out to this. We will be giving out over 400, if there's 400 kids, backpacks with school supplies. The Max Out Foundation has generously provided that for us.
Wow.
Yeah. It is.
I haven't seen that. Have we advertised that?
Max Out.
No.
Okay.
I saved
the and so for those who may not know who the Max Out Foundation is, they are an organization that uses sports as a tool to influence positive life choices and encourage self-discipline and teach leadership development specifically towards the youth side. So it's a great partnership, and it's a great way to end this positive thing with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have, you know, DJ, we'll have a bounce house, we'll, you know, promote and have things with the fitness court out there, but it's going to be a really cool opportunity.
What time?
It is 5 to 8 p.m. Music and basketball, basketball is a popular right now, starts in the bounce house and fitness in the park is from 7 to 8. So starting at 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's going to be really cool. So that's the big thing. We just had our Forever Fun Fest. So it was a great day on Saturday.
Did you have a good turnout?
We did. A little hot, but all the pups, you know, made it, touched every pup out there. So we had a really good turnout for the heat.
Okay.
So a lot of people enjoyed it, or excited for, you know, continuing on with that. So.
Applying for another one.
That just was rough.
Yeah. There's a lot of us here.
We're going to be here all night. The crowd are howling. Enjoying the theater.
Yeah. And then we just released
the could we please take a pause? Okay, long range planning.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
the other meeting.
Just a couple high-level updates. We got the zoo museum grant. We have our bid open on Monday. So hopefully we have good news for that.
Oh.
Keep your fingers crossed. That's the one where we're worried about.
And your toes.
How big we can go because of the prices.
Yes. So we scaled back the design because we got one bid that we cannot accept. We scaled it back down, rebid it. We have that bid open this Monday. So.
Hey, there.
We've had a couple. I had a couple other people pull plans, but I saw in the planning room. I had a contractor show up that I was not at the previous pre-bid, but he came to this one. Then I've gotten a couple calls on the netting and cage locks and door locks, which tells me that there is a prospective business
interest.
There's some interest that are coming in. So I mean, I'm hoping I get at least two. That would be great if I got two.
Now, this is the Lehmer-Langer, right?
Lehmer-Langer for the museum grant is correct.
Okay.
Keep your fingers crossed.
$750,000. We got our first bid back at 1.5, so we scaled back down. So hopefully we have good news this month.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to that. As you know, Fillmore Cox, we've got a lot going on there. Fitness Park is done. Got a lot of calls on that. Got a lot of compliments on that. People talk about it on the radio. I've heard really good things. It's busy.
Love that.
Good stuff on that. The city is also working on their side of doing our projects for us. The lights, the sidewalks are getting done. So all those things are coming together. We're working on getting the engineering, or not engineering, but a site survey on the properties at Border Comer. There's some fence installs and things like that. A lot of that stuff's in the works behind the scenes. starts up on German. A lot of paving that's going on, as you notice the parking lot. The parking lot's great, you need to do that. Thank you for allowing that. We also had the golf course jobs are done, repair work at Bergman, Bund, and Pasu. We're completed this month as well. We had a couple people that were on us a little bit for not getting that done. We had a contract we signed back in May, whether it didn't work out, whatever the case may be. But we ended up getting that done last July. So those are how that worked.
Thank you.
We had talked about possibly doing some meeting locations now that we're we had talked about the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us haven't been out there in a while, and
mm-hmm.
you know, have we considered making any of those changes before the end of this calendar year, or
we were looking at zoo not next week but next month.
September.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now typically what we have done in pre-COVID, once a quarter we would host this board meeting at different sites. When COVID hit, you know, we moved into, well, we were remote for a while, and then we moved into Aaron so we could spread out, and we just moved back to Bund here in the last couple meeting cycles. So if the board's comfortable, at the end of the year, we're required by law to approve a list of meetings and dates, times, and locations. So if the board's comfortable when we put that proposal together at the end of the year, we'll start rotating those quarterly again.
Good idea.
Okay. And obviously, if we have any holidays that are conflict, then we'd look at an alternate day for that week.
Yeah. We're usually pretty good on Wednesdays. Yom Kippur hits us every now and then that we try to stay away from. But other than that, you know, we're usually pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay.
You have anything else?
I have two other items.
Okay.
For the chief, I'm still, I'm occasionally getting some people calling who are concerned about the pop-up parties. Mainly they're, I think they're freaking themselves out on social media, but we're not having issues with them still, are we? We're doing fine.
Yes, I don't want to jinx us. So for the summer, we did a couple things that I've touched on before, and I don't want to belabor, but one thing I think was crucial, well, two things. We had an early sit-down with Springfield PD, and everybody got skin in the game, and we all made a commitment that we've kept to here's what each of our agencies is going to do every weekend come hell or high water. And our commitment was to have on-site officer presence in Homer Cox Park every Saturday night until 4 a.m. That has been tremendously effective. Beyond that, the city has a variety of portable video camera devices that are outdoor, all-weather, meant-to-be-seen devices. Everybody knows the glossy pretty ones on the trailer with the decals and everything. Those are hard to get because they put those for their own higher priority projects. However, they have a bunch that look like electrical transformers. They have red and blue LED lights. They're just as effective. They're just not as glossy. And so they were gracious enough, upon my request, to give us one of those on a summer's long loan that we park mounted at home and top with that red and blue light blinking all night, every night. It's been tremendously effective to deter parties, to deter people in their after hours. And I think, and again, I don't want to jinx myself, we've got a whole summer of construction of new items and
vandalism,
and I think that's what I think.
Exactly.
Without jinxing myself. So, I think we've done a real good job of driving out the overnight partiers at Comer Cox, but it's been a persistent, consistent effort every week.
Well, I even told the two people who have brought this up to me that I think that they were just about 3 months behind on the gossip, but they were talking about Southwind. And I said, I don't think we've been having problems at Southwind for several
years.
I said, I know that there were some problems in the summer, but I don't think that that's been a problem lately.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening is that, you know, it's just recycled, and it finally got to that
Southwind is a park that we need to physically visit that thing on the weekends at 10:20 p.m. and allow people to see us there, to re-remind them that
we're there.
That park is closed. That is a park that requires that type of attention, more so than a lot of other locations. Washington doesn't need that. There's some others that don't need it. That one, but it's a weird dynamic now. We're a unique dynamic in that it's all
late teens, early 20s, and nobody's walking in, they're all driving in, and many people that are in there, they may be members of the community at large, but they aren't per se Point Springville. Many of them are sits from outlying communities at the closed areas right out the interstate, and this is a meetup spot. And to their credit, we're not finding them doing a lot of nefarious things.
Yeah, not that we had that one incident with that idiot that didn't realize they were being recorded.
Once those got out, we charge people when we catch them. That actually had some back benefit, because the word got out very quickly that, hey, these folks are pretty serious about not vandalizing these parks, and they've got cameras, and they'll try to find you.
They'll find you.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Last thing, and this is just something from me. I didn't make it out to as many horseshoes games as I wanted to this year. You know, just between the heat and everything else, my kids don't do well with heat. But I have to say, especially specifically talking about Thursday night, number one, if you weren't there, that was probably the best fireworks show I've seen in years. It outdid Panther Creek, from July 4th. It outdid the downtown city one that I've seen. It was insane. It was 20 to 25 minutes long, and it was definitely something that people were talking about on the way out. However, one of the things that I kept hearing over and over again from the crowd as I was walking around and different things, and what I felt coming in and getting a parking space and seeing that, we share that parking lot. District 186 screwed us. That, I didn't realize just how much of the parking lot they had taken until I made it to a couple games.
Yeah.
And we need to put something in our shared contract. Equally for us, if they had something going on at the Lanphier, the track there as well, where we're not going to take away, more than whatever percentage of parking from each other. That...
Yeah.
If I would be honest with you, I would slap the person who put that project in place for District 186, and I don't care who ends up putting the cuffs on me. That was ridiculous.
Put your fingers in your ears, Steve.
That was absolutely ridiculous to be standing there and look at that fence and see how much of the parking lot was gone. Yeah. And I don't understand why someone hasn't been in here tearing us a new hole because of it.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think it was horrible timing. Couldn't agree more with you. We do not have a written agreement between District 186 and the park district that specifically defines that parking area. We have an intergovernmental agreement that talks about shared use of facilities, and it's more programmatic related that we could incorporate into there if we want to attempt to negotiate that. But I will tell you, from my perspective, I think from what I have seen from the school district is that they have a tremendous amount of funding from the sales tax, and they're doing construction throughout the whole community. And for them, their argument would be, hey, we're in school fall, winter, spring. The time when we're not is summer, and that's when we need to do the construction. It's horrible timing for us. I couldn't agree more. Then the railroad flexing their muscles down the street and towing people and stuff has been absolutely ridiculous as well. It has compounded the issue and frustrated not only the spiders, but people that come to the game. So it was like this perfect storm of horrible parking.
My thing is, yeah, I see what they were doing, and I understand trying to keep people from getting into the construction site, but they could have at least a third of the area they had fenced off, they could have allowed parking that night for the game.
Yeah. Well,
that was empty.
It's just this year. So
we hope.
The season's over, and
this is the first year that they've been doing this kind of thing. But
yeah.
Say that they don't do it again, and that's where I'm just saying they obviously didn't have any consideration for us when they went into this.
Actually, it's probably their contractor. I mean, my guess is that. District 186 probably didn't have a lot to do with it. Contractor said, we need this much space, and District 186 said, fine, is my guess. But hopefully next year, maybe we can revisit this in March or April and talk about the railroad and if there are any conversations we could have. But we can do that now that the season's over.
No,
but you're right.
I just wanted to get it off my chest.
That's fine.
A lot of people are sharing your frustration.
Yeah.
I could not believe it when I looked across and I was just like, not only do they have it all fenced off, half of it's empty.
Yeah.
No, we were going to get there, but yeah. I wasn't going to forget him. I promise. Do you have anything for us?
I have some great things. I know everyone wants to get out of here. I'd like to just recognize the board, one of our officers, for some really good things worked on during the month of July. Officer Plexhorn, Bush Plexhorn, myself during the month of July, recovered two stolen cars. Both of them were Hyundai's and or Kia's, like my lecture at the last meeting about the uptick. That resulted in an arrest of a person who already had a warrant, who was also listed as a missing juvenile runaway from down in Mount Vernon, Illinois. And independent from that, single-handedly caught a burglar, basically red-handed. A guy had burglarized an individual's garage. That person was a resident of a house adjacent to Redenburg Park and the bike trail. Individual called 911. Unfortunately, it was a high call for service time, and there were literally no city police officers available to respond to the call. And Bush took it upon himself, since it was next to the bike trail in the park. He buzzed down there, actually contacted the owner of the house, got a good description on the guy, found him absolutely red-handed with the goods, switching license plate on a vehicle from that good as getaway. So he did some outstanding police work, and that's why I wanted to publicly recognize him. Also from July, our calls for service both assist other agency and internally were up significantly. I mean, the summer is a peak season, but they're up significantly. Our assist calls dipped in June and went up significantly during July. My three manifesto, we've got three new officers for the summer, and can't thank you enough for the support, but by summer's end, we'll have three new patrol vehicles on the street, and that's huge, which will bring our average patrol vehicle age down from over 6 years down to below 4 years. And for a fleet of our size, which is not big, that's a significant thing. For fleet management, that is significant. I can't thank you enough. We had applied for a body camera grant through the Federal Department of Justice back late last winter, and we did not get it, just didn't make the cut. We were contacted last week by a DOJ grant rep. They reopened that same grant, and we're going to take another bite at that apple. I cannot promise you any results, but the first no is not a final no. We're going to submit the same packet with the same justification and hopefully get some or all of what we're asking for. Secondary to that, there's an upcoming grant through the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board for a body cam grant, which now, at least for this year, can include some things that were sorely missing in the past. For example, cloud storage, data storage fees, those were all exempted in the past. More importantly, up until this year, unfortunately, we were exempted. So thanks to Derek and a lot of behind-the-scenes lobbying with our park lobbyists, the legislation got changed. We're now eligible for that. And hopefully we'll get a chunk, if not all, of what we asked for on that. Probably won't know what we get until the first of the year, but that would be something that we'll be putting in for in the next roughly 4 weeks. The last thing that I wanted to touch on, and it kind of goes back to what Kristen said, we had a heck of a summer with baseball this year. We staffed the games with double what we normally staff. That was a challenge, but we arose to the challenge. We got a lot of good feedback from a lot of people, including the team owners, about our presence out there. We're not bashful about making a rep, but I like it when I can end the summer and say, we had two cops out there for every baseball game of all the people we came in with. We had zero arrests. That speaks well to the patrons. That speaks well to the value of, we parked the cars right at the entrance. We always took our cars out there, and we told the guys to be highly visible, make rounds, and don't be bashful about escorting elderly people or whomever back to their vehicles in some of the darkened areas, because the parking was a freaking challenge all summer long. So this kind of segues into my soapbox. I think we're going to have problems out there in the next year, not the same parking problems, but as railroad expansion moves up and North Grand gets closed down part of the time, if not all of the time. And so, you know, next summer is going to be here before we all know it. And I think now would be a good time to reach out with some stakeholders, the team, the city, the railroad, us, and get together and brainstorm and figure out what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, what's the impact going to be.
Great idea.
And figure out, and pardon my question, but the sucks less solution. It's not going to be perfect, but we need to figure out a sucks less solution for that and not get blindsided by what all is going on. Beyond that, the railroad was not necessarily the best neighbor a couple times on some of the parking issues up close to the stadium. However, there is a whole lot of time to plan around and diplomatically and properly kind of maybe steer the team towards some usage agreements with the railroad for some of the property down at the old Pillsbury facility, which does make for good parking, although it's not close. And I think we might want to keep that. And I don't like to drive out of my lane, but in the bigger picture, I foresee parking not the school parking lot, but overall road closure, knocking down the DPA building, and just the general chaos that's going to happen there for about the next 18 months once the kickoff of high-speed rail does that. It's going to continue to be a big challenge for the parking situation. And I just wanted to kind of get us all putting that on our radar screen. It's not only a police thing by any means, but I think it's something we need to keep on the radar.
Can we look into partnering up with SMTD for a shuttle like they do with the fair?
All that's on the table. Yeah, there's as you said, Chief, there's a lot of moving parts there. There are a lot of moving parts. The overpass there alone is huge. I was just talking to Hanson Engineering about that last weekend, because you and I kind of kicked around some of these ideas before. It's a great point. They're still going through property acquisition right now for the high-speed rail, so that project's hopefully 2 years out, which maybe will alleviate a little bit of it. But the point about we need to get a plan together and help them work through that. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the lighting in the parking lot, as well as talking to the city about the lighting up and down the street, rats don't like the lighting.
On that note,
was there a pun in there somewhere?
We could make them.
Sure.
All right. Thank you guys very much. Thanks, everybody.
Good luck.